Hello and welcome to the Power Mind podcast, the podcast that aims to spotlight and support mental health and well-being within the recruitment sector. I'm your host, Keith Southern, founder and director of the Power Mind. In this first series, I will be interviewing the partners of the Power Mind to delve deeper into their path to building resilience, prioritizing their mental health, and discovering what well-being means to them. Through these conversations, our aim is to provide every individual within the sector with accurate professional advice and support directly from leading well-being figures who have strong expertise in the distinct trials and tribulations of the recruitment industry. Made for recruiters by recruiters, the Power Mind podcast aims to equip you with the tools, advice, and insight to thrive in our ever-changing, fast-paced, unique at times, highly stressful sector. Hello, everybody. Just wanted to give a precursor to the interview with a great friend of mine now, I'm pleased to say, but also a very big expert in nutrition, health, fitness, and the list goes on. But what I wanted to highlight for this particular session is some of the points that Rick raises in this. In particular, he talks about what everyone can follow, not just athletes, because Rick's worked with world champions, Olympic champions, British, European champions. And he highlights a couple of tips there from those guys. But I think what's important with what you'll hear from Rick is how you can adapt this for yourself in the business life. It's not just aimed at a sports person. I think he says something around the many methods, but the principles are small and the same. Interestingly, how he talks about sleep and the importance of sleep for your performance. So anyway, listen to Rick. He's got 20 years experience doing this extremely well with many world champions and Olympic champions, as I've mentioned, and I hope you enjoy it. Welcome, everybody. Another session of the Power Mind series interviews that we're holding with experts in the field who can help with your well-being, your mental health and your fitness, and no better person than the very special guest we have today, Rick Moylan from Moylan's Athletic Performance Principles. I know it well, Rick, because Rick will testify. I've actually been through this program myself, which I think has stood me well. And what you'll see and hear from Rick is about how this can affect you, not just for your fitness, but where that really interfaces with your mental well-being as well. There's a couple of questions we've got planned for Rick specifically, because I want to get the best out of what Rick's time is today. What you'll also see from Rick, I hope, today is where you can have access to Rick, where you can actually maybe book some sessions with him yourself. And what we're trying to do with all the Power Mind guests is make sure that you've got access to them in one way or another that suits what your needs are. Rick, I suppose there's a bit of an intro I have, and I'm going to, if you don't mind, read this verbatim, because I think this always blows my mind every time I see this. But obviously for the audience that don't quite know you yet or are not familiar with you, I'm just going to read this out, if I may, from one of the slides I prepared earlier. Those of you who don't know Rick, Rick is a high-performance wellness and resilience coacher. He is also a keynote speaker, and as a performance coach and mentor, he's done this for around 20 years. He's coached 8 world champion and Olympic athletes, as well as European and British champion individuals and teams across a variety of sports. Rick has also worked with Special Forces, the RAF, the Police Force, the League Managers Association, and many more. He's got a very large database of widely recognized corporate clients and has helped coach thousands of people throughout his career, not least of all through his speaking. When you hear that, Rick, does it fill you with humility or does it make you go, yeah, this is, we're on the right track and we're going in the right direction?
I think a bit awkward, if I'm honest with you, Keith. It's nice to obviously, when you do keynotes and so forth like that, you get introduced and they say the little opening gambit about you and you kind of sit there and go, oh, yeah, that's me. I think, you know, what we did yesterday is amazing, and it's important to look back at that and of course learn, take the lessons. But then equally, we that was yesterday and today's today. So it's important to still drive forward and work with the next world champion or the next Olympian, but equally work with the next absolute beginner as well, because, people are people.
Absolutely. If I can then, Rick, let's just jump in, because I think there's a couple of questions specifically just for the audience so they can understand. Those that don't know, first of all, what's a performance coach? And if you wouldn't mind just having a little bit of an explanation around what MAPS is as well from yourself.
Okay. So I essentially, and what performance coaching is, historically, I think a lot of performance coaches come from a physical training background. That was certainly the case with me. And I would help people who came into gyms where, you know, historically I was based, and I was help people who wanted to lose some weight or get a bit fitter. And a lot of people would enter into that sort of working partnership, you know, because they wanted to say improve the way they look, maybe the way they look. But actually, when you sort of peel the onion and delve deeper and go through the layers, there's a whole big mindset piece there as well. And that, in certainly in more recent years, has become more apparent, more spoken about, and more acceptable. Actually, a lot of people have high levels of stress. A lot of people aren't sleeping great. It affects self-esteem. It affects mood, and there's challenges with mood. So the role of a performance coach is to look after and try and help the client or clients with their physical aspects of their overall performance, but also there is very much the mindset piece of their overall performance as well. And I very much, as I say, came from a background of being a physical trainer. And we don't often review things when things are going great. We just kind of go along with it. And so I was working with clients and things were going good, and that was that. But it was only then when I had a certain methodology that was working for person A, and then all of a sudden it just didn't work for person B. Now, the science would tell me that, you know, if it was yourself, Keith, let's say that if Keith did this, he would get this outcome. But what a lot of the academic science and the academic papers don't take into account is that people are people, and that we have ups and downs and highs and lows and good days and bad days and challenges in our personal life. So our role is to take all of this into account and to try and support our clients physically and mentally to be the best that they can be. That's what a performance coach does.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you. And then with MAPS, Henrik, was that then your version of let's see how we can best get this to those audiences?
Yeah, absolutely. I as a younger person, I always wanted to...
You're still young.
Still young, always young. When I was a little younger, let's say, I always wanted to be involved in sport. I had a huge, huge passion for sport of all kinds. And so when I got into coaching, the sort of golden goose and the aim for me at that time was to test myself at the highest levels and work with professional athletes. And you know, I've had an amazing journey with that. But as is with life, and I still love sport and I'm still involved with it, but as is with life, life evolves. And I very much, through some personal experience with family members, some personal experiences, a little bit of my own as well. But I created MAPS because, as I say, people are more stressed than ever. People are, you know, sometimes struggling with their mood, their energy levels, their sleep, all those kind of things. And I had this blueprint that I was working with elite athletes, and a few people, or, you know, quite a few people were asking to learn and could I teach them those methods. So I decided to create a program that I can get out there to the public that is relatable, accessible. And, you know, my ambition is to help as many people as I possibly can.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you, Rick. I've had the pleasure of, I've had the displeasure or unpleasure or whatever the word is for doing one of your CrossFit sessions with the guys Nathan and Marco back in the day at your gym. And I always remember on the walls, it said sleep, eat, and exercise in that order. And if you get them corrected in that order, and when I went through the MAPS program, for those that are not familiar with it, that comes through massively. So you're a big advocate, not just of the exercise itself, quite the opposite. I'd say you're anything. You're like, let's get you ready. Let's get your health and your nutrition ready. Then we can do the fitness, and then we'll get a healthier person.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And you know, the knowledge and research has obviously, it was certainly there 10, 20, 30 years ago. But in terms of what's out there now, there's far more available. And one thing that we do know is that, as I touched on, somebody's sleep, a person's sleep, people are really not sleeping well. And, you know, what the question is, why? Why is that? And there's a ton of reasons for that in terms of digital and screens and a lack of boundaries at work now, and you know, perhaps lifestyle habits, and you know, any one of those things that we'd get to. But what we do know is how the nervous system works, and the way the nervous system works. Got a highly stressed person who's working really, really hard and got deadlines and targets and all that kind of stuff, they will often present to us, and in order to combat stress, they will want to work really, really hard, you know, in their physical training, in their gym-based training. And now, actually, that can be the worst thing that they can do to start with. And what you've got to do, just like building a house, is get the foundations right first. And that you know, as you touched on, it involves putting the methods in to make sure that they sleep well, recover well, that you know, like a car, that they fuel well. And then when you've got those things in place, then you can start cranking up the physical element of it. If you go too early with that physical stuff, you can actually make things worse.
Right, thank you, mate. Obviously, you've talked about your background, as your interest in sport, and you talked about, well, as I know from your experience, the great athletes that you've worked with. Mainly, this is going to go out to a lot of business people. Yeah, there'll be sports fanatics, and there'll be fitness freaks out there, and there'll be nutritionists, there'll be people that sleep well. But in general, these are going to go out to people in highly stressed, highly paid business situations. How have you found that you're able to adapt the principles that you follow with your athletes across to that, or to other works of life?
There's a saying that the methods are many, the principles are few. And actually, you know, the stresses of a world-class athlete, whilst they may be very, very different to the stresses, you know, day-to-day, whilst they may be very, very different to the stresses that somebody who's running a team, or you know, a manager, or dealing with difficult clients, or you know, whatever that looks like in their day-to-day life, whilst the situation is very different, the responses on the body are exactly the same. So you know, the way we coach the athletes, and there's something that I call a lonely walk. I think you know, Keith, I'm writing a book about it, but the way the athletes cope with, or in, you know, in the metaphor of a boxer, let's say, the way we will coach an athlete to deal with pressure as they walk into the ring, to be able to keep calm as they walk into the ring, to be able to be at their best as they enter into the boxing, you know, the boxing match, those methods work exactly the same for everybody else. So those methods can be, they can be adapted to deal with the stresses of day-to-day life, of hitting targets, as I say, difficult clients, high stress, all those things, because fundamentally people are people and we all respond in the same way.
Okay, that's interesting, mate. I won't go into the names, and I'm sure it'll come out in due course as people get to know you and who you've worked with in the past, but a very highbrow world champion of yours is, you know, famously speaks out publicly now about his mental illness and what he went through at the time and how he did that. And this is the power mind. It's all about mental well-being and mental health and looking after yourself. I'd like to get your take on, why do you think, because I it seems to me we've either got more communication of the subject, but it does seem to me that there's more and more people with more physical challenges and more mental health challenges. Why do you think that is at the moment? If you, what's your take on that, Rick?
As the science has improved, we're actually going backwards. You know, in terms of the nation, you're right that there is more challenges than there's ever been in terms of our health physically and mentally, and I think it's all about lifestyle, and I really, really believe that. There's a saying now that sitting is the new smoking, and there's an irony that we're sitting doing this interview today, you know, but the effects of long-term sitting and the links to chronic illness now are absolutely off the chart. We're sitting more than we ever have. But I think I touched on it a minute ago. I think one of the biggest things is healthy boundaries, or a lack of healthy boundaries, in that we're accessible now 24 hours a day. You know, we are often working in, you know, multinational companies where there's different time zones. So emails are coming through, WhatsApps are coming through. You know, if you sleep with your phone by your bed, you think that you're asleep. Well, I can promise you, you're not. that subconsciously you're still sort of linked and connected to that phone. So one of my big tips is to not use your phone as an alarm clock. So I think that there's a real lack of boundaries in it. And if I say that we're like a battery pack, we're using the energy in the battery pack 24 hours a day now, and very rarely giving ourselves any chance to recharge. And the words is burnout. Now, burnout would historically be for the not so many, whereas it's becoming far, far, far more common now. Because, as I say, you know, life has changed. You know, your social media notifications never stop. And I think, yeah, you know, people are then eating. If you look at it, it's a compound effect. People are eating on the go. They're not digesting their food. They will then turn to, you know, sort of quick fix, dopamine hit, coping mechanisms, drinking, partying, whatever. And it all leads eventually to a crash. And I firmly believe it's not easy to always make these changes, but actually it is. And it starts with a decision. And the decision, first and foremost, is going, hey, actually, my lifestyle is not helping me here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really pleased to say that those who are watching this will be watching this because the people in their businesses have, in their wisdom, regarding that the more information they can get, the more opportunity to talk about the things that they do, the more expertise they can learn from, you know, that, you know, you've got your multiple degrees that you've got understanding this stuff for many, many years. And for people to have this brought to their table, it's amazing. It's just like, thankfully, I think if we can get the message across in the right pace rather than bombardment and overwhelm of all the information that they can get, that's key for me. Those that are in the program, this Power Mind program, they'll have access to, you know, as much content as they want from very famous people, like we talked about earlier off camera. But they don't always get access to those things. And I think for us, it's important that we actually see that they can get access to understand those things. If you had a top 10 tips, what would be in your top three of things where you could say to people, look, if you were going to do some instant changes here that would actually, not just that their better performance, which most recruiters always look for, but them as a better self, what's on your go-to list, Rick, that you always go to people with your clients?
I'll give you three. It might be a fourth as well on here, but people talk about hacks and quick wins and quick fixes and all that kind of stuff. Sleep is the superpower for high performance. If you want to be physically and mentally at your peak, you've got to sleep well.
Can I ask you a question on that then? Sorry, so jump in. Can you have too much?
There's a bit of research out about this at the minute. I think it's age dependent. I think for youngsters, teenagers, all that, let them sleep because of the way their hormones are developing, the way their testosterone levels are, you know, their growth hormone levels, etc. Let them sleep. I think, you know, early 20s right through to later in life, I think the optimum is 6 to 8 hours. I have had some, you know, quite a few people who wear less than six hours like a badge of honor. We've tested it tons in terms of cognitive function, in terms of strength, power, speed, in terms of reaction, and anything below 6 hours and your performance suffers. So you may be there saying, hey, I can, you know, and that was one of the old things, wasn't it? And I think, you know, historically in corporate was, as I say, it was this badge of honor that, you know.
It was work hard, play hard. Work hard, play hard was like the terminology, wasn't it? And it was so ill-fated,
yeah.
It turns out.
Yeah, I work 24/7, doing 18-hour, 19-hour days. And it is, I'm going to choose my language carefully, but it's just not cool. And it's not a long-term strategy for success. So, you know, for me, sleep is the number one high performance superpower. One of my big things that I then encourage everybody to do is a daily sweat. So some sort of physical movement every single day. Now, of course, the intensities differ. You know, so you can't train all out day in, day out. And as I said earlier, you know, if you're at the beginning of that journey, you want to be taking it easy and easing yourself in. But certainly getting out, going for a walk, you know, getting some steps in, doing something every single day. That then leads me to number three, which is there's a couple of quite famous podcasters really going at this right now. Getting some sunlight, so getting those vitamin D levels, even if it's cloudy, you know, even if it's cold. One of the sayings the military use and the special forces use is that there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad kit. So, you know, even if the weather's bad, get yourself out, get that vitamin D in your system, and supplement with vitamin D as well. I'm a big, big fan of that. And then the last one, and this is, you know, I could go into real depth with this, but this is one that I work on with athletes, but is highly relevant to all of us, is talk a bit nicer to yourself about yourself. And I'll just let that one, you know, sort of sink in, people.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay. There's a few narcissists in recruitment, so I'm not sure that's good for them. They'll be all in the mirror talking about how great they all feel every day, but maybe that's what they need to do.
Absolutely. Backing yourself is cool, but then let's not be too hard on ourselves if we don't always get that deal, if we don't always hit that number, because we can always go again the next day and take the lessons from it.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you. Look, I don't want to cut Rick short, and I never ever want to every time I speak with him. But the point of these 20, 30-minute little interviews are that people can get some top tips and some good understanding of what it is that you're there. If you go to the webpage on the PowerMind website for Rick, you'll see all the different things that Rick offers. There's a few explainers there. There's video there. There's stuff that you can actually understand about what Rick's program is, and certainly a bit more about MAPS. And the best part about Rick is if you really want to ask any questions, you've got your Facebook group as well, Rick, that everyone's kind of welcome to it on the MAPS program. And obviously, Rick's a very open book, and he'll tell you how he is. One thing Rick is very honest. And when, as a trainer, I think that's what you need sometimes. It's not what the recipient wants every time when they're getting it in the neck, but certainly it's what most people want. Thanks for listening or watching that interview there with Rick Moyland in the PowerMind sessions. I hope you got at least one, if not many, good tips there looking after yourself, which will eventually help with your mental well-being, your general well-being, and hopefully your fitness as well. If you want to learn more about Rick and the MAPS program that he operates, you can go to the webpage on the PowerMind website and you can see what Rick does there. Stay tuned for the next interviews, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to the PowerMind podcast, brought to you by the PowerMind. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, like, and leave a review. Every time you do, it helps others to find the show. For further details on the PowerMind and how you can assist in weaving well-being into the core of your business culture, head over to thepowermind.co.uk, or you can email me at keith.southern@thepowermind.co.uk. Join us next time for more conversations around mental health and well-being within recruitment on the PowerMind podcast.